Kia ora koutou. Ko Sam Broughton toko ingoa, kōra mātua o Waikiri Kiri. Hi, I'm Sam, the Mayor of Selwyn, and thanks for joining me on this, the third episode of 5, Unpacking the Future for Local Government Review. In this conversation, I'm joined by Jim, Gail and Sanchia, who introduced themselves in the first episode. So if you haven't listened to that already, jump on back to understand a little bit more. Today, we focus on growing authentic, te tiriti-based partnerships. Over the last 183 years, mana whenua have been cut out of decision-making places of power and tables of influence. Over the last 20 years, we've seen some change and steps towards greater partnership. And I'm really encouraged that the report has come back with some strong recommendations, clearly laying out how we could further improve what partnership really means. It's about all our communities and how we have richer discussions that enable better outcomes for all the places that we live. So let's jump into the conversation.
Looking at your recommendations, there's a number here that sit in the partnership space. And in the last 20 years, there's been some steps taken to address that history. And in some places, they're quite, it's taken a lot of conversation to get there. Some councils are really leaning into that, and for others, the communities are in a space where more conversation is required. Can you talk about what your recommendations look like in that partnering with mana whenua?
Look, we were privileged through our review to have the opportunity to meet some really wonderful people and highly capable thought leaders and people who have had years and years of working in the partnership space with hapu iwi Māori. And we met with 55 iwi as part of our review. We made a significant effort to get out and understand and hear from iwi, from hapu, and from a number of Māori organisations as well. And so for that, we were extremely fortunate. Likewise, we also had many great conversations with local government. And my reflection in the last 10 years particularly, there's been a significant shift in the recognition of the importance of a quality, authentic relationship with hapu iwi Māori, a genuine desire to do better. But in many cases, local government didn't quite understand or were afraid of what, of getting it wrong. And so, there's quite a gap there. We think the maturing of relationship that is occurring needs to continue. And while we have been heartened by what we see, there needs to be a further strengthening. We see that there is an opportunity to more authentically reflect a te tiriti-based partnership within local government. And while much has been made recently of matters of co-governance and the like, I think all of local government, every submission we received from local government said, yes, we want a stronger relationship with hapu iwi. That's got to, where it works, it's fantastic, and we need more of it. So from our point of view, we aim to see a more culturally specific exercise of kāwanatanga governance. The ability to enhance capacity of hapu iwi and Māori across the system is critical. And we need to see, it'll enable more authentic te tiriti partnerships that reflect not only some of the sophisticated relationships and arrangements that already exist, but we need to see a more specific exercise and recognition of kāwanatanga and, importantly, tino rangatiratanga, and bringing together to a greater extent. It's going to require significant investment from local government, not only in their capacity, but in their capability. And anything that can be done to increase the the fluency in Te Reo. I acknowledge that's a challenging area for me and one that's always still a work on. But I think there is a great opportunity to strengthen local government so that it is able to embrace and bring the best of Indigenous culture and the best of our Western system together to build a uniquely specific culture, an Aotearoa New Zealand specific identity that reflects the cultural richness and history that New Zealand has. We're not trying to copy somebody else's from overseas. It has to work for us. And hapu iwi Māori are really seeking that. They are genuinely wanting a stronger partnership, but also they need more resource, more support to be able to contribute in the way that they want to and we need to see occur. They are pulled from pillar to post, whether it's central government, local government, community. The demands on them are huge, and it often falls to a very small number within a hapu or iwi to carry that burden. And they need, if we're going to have the relationship that is needed, they too need investment and investment from both local and central government towards hapu iwi and Māori to support them in the way that is required.
I think that's why it's good to say it's a multifaceted recommendation that you have there. It's not just one thing or the other. Again, it's within our partnerships, it's got to be within our organisations, as well as our attitudes towards our community, as well as thinking about what good governance looks like, as well as healing our history. There's so much that sits in there. 1998, in my local context, Ngāi Tahu received an apology that acknowledged their rangatiratanga across the takiwa, and the government said that they wanted to work in a new age of cooperation with Ngāi Tahu. And so for government agencies, is that already sits there behind the decision making. One of your recommendations talks about explicitly recognising local government as a partner to Te Tiriti. And that then starts to open the door to how are we locally authentic to the things that have actually already been promised, and what's a responsibility of a community to step into that space too. And that opens the door for businesses to be a part of that journey and for everything else that sits in the community, Gail.
Yeah, it was a very conscious decision by the panel to make explicit that local government is a Te Tiriti partner. We could have gone back into the constitutional law and got really academic about it, but we just decided that it's already happening. There are some fantastic examples of where local government is partnering with hapu and iwi, and there are other examples where there's a long distance still to travel. But we thought that needs to be just clearly acknowledged, and then the how is where it really needs to focus. I think the Te Tiriti chapter of the report is definitely one of the highlights. It's both practical and educational. And I think for anyone working in local government, it's a really good overview of what the issues are and what needs to happen to get more authentic relationships and to be able to really partner. We heard a lot, as well as from iwi, we met with, I think it was about 26 hapu as well. And that hapu and marae relationship for local government is really important, and so much opportunity if local government establishes those relationships. That connection to place is so strengthened, and that you talked, Sam, about healing our history. There's so much too that local government can do in partnership with hapu and marae to tell the stories of place and to really uncover the history from a mana whenua perspective, not necessarily a colonial perspective and a story that's been reinforced over decades. And we've seen some fantastic examples too where local government has done that and worked in a creative way with mana whenua to tell those stories and have them on the side of libraries or in like in the New Plymouth Airport or in all sorts of just woven in to local government and its facilities and in its communications and in its relationships. So it's an exciting place, and local government is so well positioned to thrive there, and it's in local government's hands.
There will be some parts of the country that read that chapter and they'll feel a little bit like, gulp, how do I get to there? And I think when I read that chapter, and after my time living and working in Central Otago, one of three councils in the Otago region that has no mana whenua presence, no marae, obviously great relationships and increasing relationships with Runaka out on the coast and partnership agreements in place and all that. But it's a really long journey. And the way that I sort of look at it is it is a journey. A kaumātua from Otago Runaka said to me when I first arrived at Central Otago District Council, having come from Auckland Gael, where there's 19 iwi and far different arrangements in place than down in the deep south, but he said to me, just remember that we are all here for just a speck in time when it comes to history. And the important thing is that when you leave this role, it'll be different than when you started. And I think the same goes when we look at that chapter. For me, what I would encourage people to do around the motu when they read that chapter, and it feels a bit foreign or difficult to them, is to actually embrace it as the long game. What are the things we can do now and incrementally increase and grow capacity in, grow relationship in, towards that long game outcome that we're striving for?
Yeah, and it can be as simple as, what are the places of significance for Māori in your district? There might not be marae or a strong mana whenua presence, but there is a history, whether it's trails to places, whether it was temporary occupation, or just those sites of significance that are woven into the stories of mana whenua. Finding those things out can lead to all sorts of rich relationships and opportunities.
Absolutely. There may not be mana whenua presence in terms of a marae, but there is a very rich and multifaceted history for Māori presence across our regions.
One of the things that ECAN went through last year was had to move to get a bill through Parliament to enable mana whenua to participate meaningfully in their council, to enable them to vote, not just discuss things around their table. When the commissioners were put in originally, there were mana whenua seats on the council that was removed when commissioners left. It seems like a really long way to go about having to get someone with you when authentic partnership is kind of the direction that you're pushing towards, and yet at the moment there's a few barriers in the way. It's been great to open up Māori wards on councils, and I think that change in the last 18 months has been excellent, and seen a renewed and refreshed council in lots of places, and richer conversations which enable better outcomes for communities. But can you talk a little bit about the mechanisms that you see needing to change around making it happen? It's not just going to be all about councils changing their ways. There's some infrastructure behind this that's going to have to change.
Yeah, thanks, Sam. And yeah, there has been significant change in the fact that there are now 35 councils that have Māori wards since the last election was enabled through a legislative change. And we see the value of that, but recognise that each area is different. And therefore, we haven't suggested that there be prescription, rather enablement. So in some parts of the country where Māori wards might be seen as desirable, there's a technical knockout at the moment that if you don't meet a specific percentage of the population that are registered in the Māori role, then then it doesn't matter how much everybody wants a Māori ward, it can't happen. So we are suggesting that the threshold be reduced. We haven't specified where the threshold should be, but be reduced to enable greater opportunity for more Māori seats. Similarly, in terms of mana whenua representation at the council, and a number said to us, well, you know, you don't need that because a Māori seat achieves what's required. We've reflected on that, and we think in terms of giving effect to Te Tiriti, that Māori seats, while help give effect to Article 3 in regards to the treaty, Article 1 and Article 2 talk about kāwanatanga and rangatiratanga, and it's recognising the contribution that particularly hapū and iwi make at place. That should be enabled and supported through enabling mana whenua appointments. And my observation, living just down the road from Ekan and in the same region as you, Sam, is that the decision making has actually really been enhanced and strengthened through the participation of mana whenua at the table, and they're not seen as mana whenua at the table. They are councillors at the table, but they bring a perspective and a set of values which really change the dynamic of the conversation around a council table, and that breadth of view is really influential in thinking about bringing a te ao Māori lens to our decision making, thinking about how mororanga Māori can be included, where tikanga, you know, the way in which we do things, the practices we have, how much richer councils are with those embedded in it, and having the ability, you know, so much of the knowledge and understanding of place, you know, that's embodied in the kaitiaki role that mana whenua, hapū iwi in particular, hold on to dearly and play, make great contributions, then we should be enabling that. And it's not the other thing which I think has, you know, influenced our thinking. We've heard a lot that said, well, you know, any sense of there being appointments and mana whenua appointments to a table is a breakdown in the one person, one vote democracy system. We think that New Zealand, and to give effect to its cultural identity and to reflect Te Tiriti, it is a different type of democracy that we have in New Zealand, and it needs to reflect the richness of that and embrace Te Tiriti when we're thinking of, and the responsibilities and obligations that go with being a Te Tiriti partner, that needs to be reflected in the way in which we govern our communities. And so we think it's appropriate that that is enabled, again, not required, but where people think that that's a great thing to happen, then we should let that happen.
Thanks for listening. I trust that this has been informative and helped you understand more about the review. I trust also that it's helped spark some conversations and thoughts about how you might implement change in your community. I really want to thank the panel for all the work that they've done. Jim Palmer, Penny Hulse, Antoine Coffin, Gail Surgenit and Brendan Boyle. We really appreciate the effort, the thought, the research and planning that's gone into this, and obviously all the staff that sit behind the review too. Thanks to Sanchia for being part of the conversation team. Really appreciate your thoughts. To all elected members and executives, anyone that works inside councils, thank you so much for what you do to make your communities awesome. Thanks to LGNZ and the team of staff there doing an amazing job to serve local government across Aotearoa. I look forward to listening and discussing and debating and implementing all the recommendations that have been put forward in this review. I'm still Sam. Thanks for listening.